5? Are we standing to 5? As you are talking to God, he said, it's given to me in heaven and in the earth.
Did you see that? Heaven and in the earth. In answers, go therefore, go therefore, and teach all nations.
So he's baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to
observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said, I know I am is with you always, even to the end of the age.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mark 16 from verse 15.
He says,
Jesus said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name,
don't cast out devils. He said, they will speak with new tongues. He said, they will take up serpents, and if they shall drink any dead meat, it shall not haunt them. He said, they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Hallelujah. Verse 19, so after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord is walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. Set the echo to zero. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now,
we'll find Matthew and Mark. And we said this would be a summary of what Jesus instructed them within the 40 days, right? After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples and he taught them 40 days. So, what is the instruction? Go make disciples, right? Go make disciples.
Hallelujah. And in making disciples,
Mark will now record to us how to make disciples, what the entry point is. What is the entry point? It is preaching the gospel. So the entry point for a man to become a disciple is when the gospel is preached and he believes and it's believed. Hallelujah. So we're looking at the apostolic order. Look at the top section. So we said disciples, when you have disciples, okay, glory to God. So when you hear disciples, I said
We are disciples of the apostles, right? We said that last week, that we are disciples of the apostles, and as such, we live by the instructions from the written word, right? Now, we don't live, we don't live on our own terms, no. Hallelujah. So to live outside the instructions of the written word is to backslide. Glory to God, it's to backslide. So the written word becomes our instruction, how we live by. I remember years back, there used to be a brother in church whom I was to go to school. I was still in the university then. So he was to oversee meetings. What happened was that, you know, he picked up a cliche from what I taught them, that the believers, you cannot monitor, or the believers, you cannot monitor the believers. You know, just a cliche. Right, that the believer cannot be tapped, cannot be trapped. You can't trap the believer. No. We are like the wind. So he picked that back. And I came to tell me, sir, he now said, sir, you taught us that the believer cannot be controlled, cannot be. I said, yes. And I said, so therefore, the Bible cannot be the manual to our life. I say, how? He says, see, sir, the Bible is the manual to our life. So that means anybody can read it and know the lifestyle of the believer. So therefore, the Bible is not the manual. I say, it's not true. He says, sir, that is it. And I say, you know what? And funny enough, he was telling me this a night, so when I was to travel the next morning. You know, at that point, Satan is very smart. At that point, you know, I can't do anything because I'm traveling the next morning. And I've handed over a meeting to him. What do you want me to do? I've bought my ticket to school the next day. I cannot, at that point, I can't do nothing. Yesterday, you know what? This was around 10 p.m. He didn't even call me in the afternoon. So I can quickly summon some people and say, hey, brethren, don't listen to this nonsense. Then phone was not that rampant. I guess it was only two people that have phones in church. So I'm like, what am I going to do? This was way back. I'm like, okay. I said, you know what? You see this nonsense you said? I said, don't say it to any of my members. Continue teaching them, but don't say it to any of my members. Do you know that it didn't even take him up to 2 months. What he said began to manifest. It didn't take him up to 2 months. We now heard that our brother that was leading meeting, that was supposed to be the pastor, was not taking shelter, was not smoking Igbo. When the Bible is not the manual to your life, the devil will be the manual to your life. It's as simple as that. Hallelujah. Amen. So we live by the instructions of the scriptures. Not to live by the instruction from the scriptures is to live your life anyhow. It's like you are backsliding. That brother, it didn't even take him any moment. Because that night I wonder, I said, bro, you are backsliding. I said, no, it's not backsliding. I said, you are backsliding. And my pain is that I'm leaving my members under your care. I said, no, what? Teach everybody that thing I've taught you, but you see this one, don't teach it. Hallelujah. But I will know where I will begin to do my crisis management from. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's very important. Therefore, we said that the background of this instruction to go make disciples is the local church, right? When you say go make disciples, matitio, it means how you enroll children into a school. So when you hear the word matitio, at the background is a gathering. At the background is the local church, a gathering of people. Hallelujah. So that means the instruction to raise disciples is the instructions to gather. I hope you're hearing me. It's the instruction to gather, gather, gather. Therefore, the local church is an instruction. Amen. Amen. Emoji. It's only disciples you've written saying that. All this talk, I will see. They are going into the spirit, they are coming back. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. The local church, the garden. Therefore, the local church is an instruction. A local church is the garden of believers in a locality, in a place. When believers are gathered in a place, it's called local church. Don't be like me years back. That was 2006. I said we don't have a local church. We have an international church. It's called Word Shaker Fellowship. It's not a local church. It's an international church. Yeah, it's just nonsense. Hallelujah. A local church is believers gathered in a locality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happened? I showed us last time. When Jesus was taking off their sight, what did they do first? They gathered. Right? Acts of Apostles chapter 1, verses 12. They gathered. The moment Jesus left their sight physically, they gathered. Acts 1, 12. And they returned. They returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which was from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had come in, they went into the upper room and abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James and the son of Alphaeus and Simeon, Zealot, and Judas, the brothers of James. Did you see that? And they continued in one accord in prayer. So, can you see that? The moment Jesus left their side physically, what happened? They gathered. So that means that gathering is an instruction. Hallelujah. Did you see that? That means when Jesus, part of what Jesus taught them, when he said, beginning at Moses in Luke 24, and all the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself, right? He was teaching, part of what Jesus taught them within the 40 days would be the gathering. When he said, these are the ones which I taught you while I was still with you, that were written in the law of Moses and the prophet and the Psalms concerning me, and open his their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. It's part what Jesus taught them to is gathering. Because the gathering is important. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. The first thing they did was to gather. When in chapter 2, look at chapter 2 of Acts, verse 40. It said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about how many souls? 3,000 people were saved. Is that 3,000 people got saved? 3,000. I want you to get that. 3,000 people got born again. When they got born again, where did they add them to? The church. Did you see that? Did you see that? They were added to the church. So, that means we are saved to gather. We get born again to gather. So, we are not born again to be... You know, I hear people say, my personal salvation. No, there's not like personal salvation. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Say, Jesus is our personal Savior. He's our Savior collectively together. Hallelujah. Because you're not saved to yourself. No, you are saved to a church. You are saved to a gathering. Hope you're hearing me. You're not saved to be alone. No! I'm hitting it hard so that I need to get to you, so that you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You remember when Jesus taught them within the 40 days, he taught them together. I said that last week, right? Right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the gathering is important. We are saved together. Hope you are hearing me. Hope you are hearing me. Glory to God. Let's look at something. I will put it like this. Just listen to me. I'll put it this way. Theology, the eventual conclusion of theology is Christology. Right? Christology brings about what? Soteriology, which is salvation. And salvation will be seen in eschatology. Right? It will be seen in the ecclesiology. That is to say, our salvation will bring God to the gathering. We're not saved to be alone. I hope you are listening to me. I'm not a Christian. Which church do you attend? No, I don't attend a church. No! All they are hearing me. You are saved to a people. Go through the book of Acts. That is the apostolic order. You don't save people and allow them go. You don't get people born again and you don't bring them to a church. Hallelujah. I bet some people say, "Are you now? You are not saved. I want you to go and look for a Bible believing church." No. Which church do you attend? Bring the person to church. Hallelujah. Because when a man gets saved, your first responsibility is to bring him to where he will grow, where he will be taught. Hope you're hearing me. Don't leave people to just know. Hope you're hearing me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 So, in Matthew 18, Jesus gave. Let us see what happens in the church. Look at this. Matthew 18:20. We were here last week. Matthew 18, verse 20. Look at what it says. It says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name." Did you see that? Did you see the word gathered? Matthew 18:20. It says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So what is church? Where two or three are gathered. I hope you are hearing me. Hallelujah. Once you are two is a church. Once you are three is a church. Once you are four is a church. Once you are 50 is a church. Once you are gathered in his name. What is the watchword? Gathered in his name. Did you see that? He said, "There am I in the midst of them." Hallelujah. He is in our midst. There I am in the midst of them. Hallelujah. He is in our midst. Glory to God. I told us this last year, right? Right? Glory to God. Jesus is in our midst. When we are gathered together. So that means every believer's gathering is an encounter. Is an encounter. I hope you're hearing me. When we are gathered is an encounter. An encounter with God. God is in our midst. Hallelujah. So therefore, the gathering is sacred. Every believer's gathering. Once we are two, we are gathered in his name. Hallelujah. It's sacred. Hallelujah. That means I must not treat it anyhow. I must not treat our gathering anyhow. Hallelujah. When believers are gathered, God is there. God is there. Hallelujah. Remember I told you when Jesus is teaching like this, he's teaching from where? From the 39 books, right? Genesis down to Malachi. That means at the background of what Jesus is saying, will be the church in the wilderness. I showed us that, right? The background of the word church is the church in the wilderness. Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness. Hallelujah. At the background of what Jesus is saying is from there. Hallelujah. How God was with them. God led them by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Hallelujah. That was what is in the background. When Jesus went two or three, I got there in the midst of them. What is in the background? Hallelujah. Is how God led them in the wilderness as a pillar of cloud and as a pillar of fire. Hallelujah. The miracle signs and wonders that happened was the fact that God was with them. Hallelujah. God was in their midst. Hope you are hearing me. So when Jesus says, "There am I in the midst of them," it means God is here. Hallelujah. Therefore, when I come for a believer's gathering, hallelujah, even as the word is taught, I can receive healing. I can receive miracles. Hallelujah. Signs and wonders can take place just by teaching the word. Pastor does not need to lay hands on you. No, I don't need to lay hands on you. Just being around in the believer's garden and you understand that God is here. Healings can take place. Miracles can take place. Hallelujah. That is how you see believer's gathering. No, you say to yourself, as I go to church, I'll get better. As I get to church, I'll be better. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Miracles can take place. Even when we are just praying or singing, hallelujah, miracles can take place. Amen. Signs and wonders can happen. Even just singing, how great is our God? Miracles can just take place. Hallelujah. It's a fact of our salvation. Glory to God. So no section in a believer's meeting, when believers are gathered, no section should be treated anyhow. Even when we're just praying, when we are praying, when the word is taught, when we are singing, when we're even taking offering, miracles can happen. Hallelujah. So you tell yourself, when you are coming to church, you are sensitive. You are coming to church, you are in the spirit. You are ready to receive. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 17, Paul will say, we gather to get better. We are gathered to get better. To the end that we are better. I'm better in my conduct. Hallelujah. I'm better in my walk. I'm better in my speech. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Every time believers gather, there is something that you are becoming better at. You don't come to a believer's gathering and leave the same way you came. Hope you are following me. You don't come to a believer's gathering and leave the same way. Something has been added. Hope you are hearing me. Something has been added. You've had an encounter. Glory to God. Hope you're following me now. Hallelujah. So we began looking at the local church last week, right? As an instruction in scripture. As an apostolic order, right? Right? Hallelujah. And we said in the local church there is order. In the gathering of believers there is order. 1 Timothy 3:15. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have what we call church conduct. Church conduct. And we said in the local church, part of the order that we have is that we have leadership. Right? We say we have leadership. Leadership. In Acts of Apostles chapter 14, let's see what Paul did in the churches. What did Paul do in the churches where he preached? Acts 14, verses 25. Are you with me? I mean, sorry, 23. It says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. He said they ordained elders. The word elders there is the word leaders, right? Leaders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Leaders. In John 21, look at what Jesus did when he was to leave. John 21, verse 15. Are you there? Everybody to John 21, 15. Something will come out here shortly now. Okay, verse 15. And when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? And he said to him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, feed my lambs. Hope you are following me. Feed my lambs. In verse 16, he told him again, feed my sheep. Verse 17, feed my sheep. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So when Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep, what he has done is to bring order. Okay, hear me. What he has done is to bring order. What kind of order? He has brought order to their gathering. How? He handed over the disciples to who? Peter. Just telling him, feed my sheep is a sign of leadership. He said, you are now the pastor. Hope you are hearing me. Hallelujah. So Peter will now be the leader. Hope you are following me. He handed over to Peter. So the leadership is who? Peter. Hallelujah. That is why when you get to the book of Acts, Acts 2, who's in Acts 1, who stood up to preach? Peter, Acts 1, 14. In Acts 2, who stood up? Peter. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Who was standing up in Acts 5? Peter. Why? He was the pastor. He was the leader. When John and Peter were going into the temple called Beautiful, and they saw the man who was lame, who spoke? Peter. Why did John speak? Because Peter is the pastor. Hallelujah. You know, John can say, Peter, just calm down. Calm down. You know, it is me and you that we saw the Lord. Don't worry. Just calm. No. But because his pastor is there, you don't talk when your pastor is standing. Hallelujah. We'll get to that shortly. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Because Peter was his pastor. Hope you are hearing me. When they caught them in Acts 5. Okay, in Acts 4, and they threatened them again not to preach. Who responded? Peter. Acts 5, they flogged them. Who responded? Peter. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. In Acts 6, they needed some people to serve table. Who spoke out? Peter. Why? Because Jesus handed over to Peter. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Look at it. So that means the leadership in the local church is God set up. It's God that put it up. Right from the book of Acts, it was God that set it up. Peter being the pastor is God set up. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 verse 11. I'll say some things now and then. We'll take it up whenever we're teaching pneumaticals. Amen. Amen. Glory, 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 glory. Acts 4, verse 11. Verse 10. Verse 11. Let me start from verse 8. He said, wherefore, he said, when he ascended upon high and led captivity captive and gave gift unto men. Now, he that ascended is, what is he? What is it? But he also descended first unto the lower part of the earth. And that, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heaven, that he might fill your things. And what did he do? He gave some apostles. Is that from God? He gave some. Aha. Did you see that? Who did? Jesus did. Hallelujah. Actually, the way the Greek put it is, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, pastors, kai, didaskalos. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Not he gave some apostles, some prophets. No. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what is he saying? These are, when you hear apostles, that is apostelos. That is the Greek word apostle. And it's all a function. Do you understand? It's a function. So you will find these functions in the leadership of the local church. It is saying when you come to a local church, you will see they have a pastor there, they have an apostle there. No, those are functions. Hallelujah. I hope you are hearing me. Now when you hear, let me just give us what I would call a, should I call it a teaser? I'm just giving us a teaser on the surface. When you hear the word apostle means sent one. I hope you are hearing me. Sent one. The word prophet is the word prophetical, means a mouthpiece, right? One that speaks on behalf of someone, Nabi. An evangelist now is the act of preaching for men to get saved, right? Evangelistic. Now you have the pastor's teachers. Now listen to me. These are functions you find in the leadership. And I need you to listen to me well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you hear pastor, is your pastor sent to you? Come on, is the leadership in the church? The leadership in the church, is it okay? The leader in the church, are they sent to you by God? So he's an apostolos. Is it God's mouthpiece to you? It's prophet. Hallelujah. Is he a soul winner? He's an evangelist. Does he pastor you? He's your pastor and teacher. So where will you find all these functions? In the leadership. Hallelujah. So don't get so they say, if I church, we have fivefold ministry, we have the pastor, we have a prophet, we have an apostle. No, it's just a function in the leadership. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So I remember years back, me and my friends, we were about to do some funny things. So one man said he is an apostle. Like, wow, apostle. And I said, you're an apostle, I am a prophet, you know, so that we can be complete five things. we're just being children. Hallelujah, and very naughty. We're just naughty. Hallelujah. But what you need to see is that it is God set up. You say he put this, right? He gave some to be apostles. So the some will be the leadership, right? You'll find it in the leadership. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 12:28. Are you there? He said, and God has set some in the church. Did you see that? Paul was dealing with how, when he said, firstly, apostolos, secondly, prophetical, thirdly, teachers. Now, after that, now, what Paul was dealing here with is how these gifts were unveiled in the church in the book of Acts, yes? But look at what it says. It says, who actually did this? He said, God has set some in the church. Did you see that? Who did? God. Did you see that? God has set some. So when he said first apostles, he's not saying apostles is the highest. No. He's saying, how did we see that in the book of Acts? Who did we see first in the book of Acts? The apostles. Did you see that? Right? They were sent from where? They were sent, and where do we see them being sent? Matthew 28, right? Mark 16, right? Glory to God. Hope you are following me. The next thing we began to see is prophets, right? They were God's mouthpiece in the land. Did you see that? Later we'll find them teaching. Did you see that? So that is how it was unveiled in the churches. That was how it was unveiled in the book of Acts. But where will you find them? In the church, in the leadership. Hope you are following me. And he said, who set it up? God. Did you see that? So the leadership of the local church is God set up. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Is God set up? So every time we read this, we'll see that it's God that set it up. And then we'll read the leadership, we'll see that it's God that set it up. It's God's plan for the local church. God's plan. Hallelujah. That means the leadership is how God wants to lead his children. I mean, through the leadership is how God wants to lead his children. Through the leadership, through the local church.
Amen. Please. Amen. Call your pastor. I don't have to see the word in the MFS. Because it doesn't look everywhere.
Brandon. Amen.
This is
amen. So let's continue. So, what is the leadership for? Why did God set up the leadership? What is the reason for the church? Hallelujah. What's the reason for the local church? Look at Matthew 28, verse 20. It says, Jesus is speaking, he said, teaching them to observe. You see that? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Amen.
Amen.
Teaching them to observe. So that means, in the local church, is how, teaching them It means that the local church is how God wants us to be taught. Okay, you hear me? That is how God wants us to be taught the word in the local church. Okay, you hear me? How does God want us to be taught the word in the local church? Christianity is not where you want to know God on your own terms. In Christianity, you don't come to know, or you are a Christian, or Christianity is not where you know God on your own terms. No. Rather, it's where God is known through men, through the word taught and observed. I hope you're hearing me. You don't know God on your own terms. No. In Christianity, you are taught through men. Hallelujah. You are taught through men. Amen. So when you get back to Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, 11, are you there? When it says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It says for what? Come on. Verse 12. It says for the perfecting of the saints. Hallelujah. Who are the saints? The saints are the believers. Hallelujah. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Did you see that? Come on, let's look at that. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. That word edifying is the word oikodomio. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Edifying. Building up. That is the word. Building up. Hallelujah. So when he uses the word perfecting, that is the word in the Greek katatismos. It is from another word katatizo that means to repair. Now, when you hear the word katatismos, it means to completely or to thoroughly furnish, to equip, hallelujah, to get better. So that means the church is where we come to get better, to get well furnished, to get well equipped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we come to church, or the reason for the local church is for us to get better. It's also get well equipped. Hallelujah. It uses the word for the edifying. Edifying. Oikodomio, building up. Hallelujah. Building up to get stable. Hallelujah. I hope you're hearing me. So the local church is where we are well equipped towards God's task in the earth. We are well equipped for God's task in the earth. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13. And I said, till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the standard of the fullness of Christ. So he used the word knowledge to make you see that the local church is where we are taught God's word to be stable. Hallelujah. To be stable. Say, I'm stable because I belong to a local church. Hallelujah. I'm stable because I belong to a local church. Because I submit to a local church. To my local church. Hallelujah. When a man submits to his or her local church, he becomes stable. Hallelujah. You become stable. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's get back to that John 21 verse 15 again. John 21, when Jesus speaks to Peter, he says to him in verse 15, feed my sheep, right? In verse 17, feed my sheep. Hallelujah. So when you look at verse 15 and verse 17, when it tells you feed my sheep, Jesus uses a word. The word he uses in the Greek is the word bosko. Bosko. It's the word for how you graze, for grazing. That word means to how you give someone food. Did you see that? Give someone food. So when I say feed my sheep, he's talking about food. When I say bosko, give them food, give them food. When you mean food, it's not giving them zobo. No, it means teach them the word. Hope you're following me. Jesus is writing figuratively there. Now look at verse 16. Some translations will put it, tend to my sheep. Right? Right? Did the translation put, if you love me, tend to my sheep? Hallelujah. Others put, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Then one, it says, tend, verse 16, it says, tend my sheep. Now when you use that word, feed my sheep in verse 16. That is the word poimaino. Poimano. P-O-I-M-A-N-O. Poimano. It is, now, that word poimano does not just mean to give food alone. No. I hope you are hearing me. That word poimano does not just mean to give food alone. No. Poimano is where you have the word poimen. Poimen means a shepherd, a pastor. This is, are you following me? So when you use the word poimano, it means, it also means to supervise, to lead, to take care like a father. So that means the leadership of the local church is like your father, or is your father, your spiritual father. I hope you are following me. To supervise, to lead, to take care of like a father. Hallelujah. So the work of the local church goes beyond just giving you God's word. The job of the local church goes beyond teaching you the word. No. Hallelujah. It goes beyond teaching. Teaching is part of the responsibility of the local church, primary responsibility, but it goes beyond that. Hallelujah. That's the word oversight. The local church has oversight over its members. Oversight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul used that same word, poimano. He used that same word, poimano, to the leadership in Ephesus. In Acts of Apostles chapter 20, verse 28. Acts of Apostles 20, 28. Come on, let's rush down there. Acts of Apostles 20, verse 28. Acts 20:28. If you're there, read. It says, take it therefore to yourselves and to all the flocks. Who does it call flocks? The members of the local church. Do you see that? Who does it call flocks? Members of the local church. It says, over which the Holy Ghost has made thee what? Overseers. So do what? To feed the church of God. That word feed is the word poimano, to feed. So it goes beyond just giving them the word. No, it is the word to tend to them, to be like a father to them, to be a shepherd, a ruler, a supervisor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To feed the sheep, the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2. Peter uses the same word again, poimano. 1 Peter chapter 5. Are you there? I'll start from verse 1. It said the elders, is that the leadership? Come on, the elders, is that the leadership? Said the elders which are among you, I exhort, which am also an elder, which is I am a leader. Did you see that? And witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He says, feed, poimano. Did you see? Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for futile look, but for a ready mind. But of a ready mind. Hallelujah. So oversight. Poimano. No, it goes beyond just giving them food, giving them money. No, it goes beyond just teaching them the word. Hallelujah. It goes beyond that. Hallelujah. It goes beyond that. They have oversight over you. Hallelujah. The local church has oversight over you. Hallelujah. Oversight. They feed you the word, and then they have oversight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it goes beyond teaching. It also includes instructions. It includes praying. It includes counseling you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is not what can be achieved online. You can't get this online. Hope you are hearing me. You cannot get this one online. No. The people, the church you are going online, they don't know you. Hallelujah. I hope you are hearing me. The church you are going online, they don't know you. They don't even know if you click, if you watch. Amen? Amen? Yeah. People who are submitted to online churches, they are working in disobedience. Because the instruction is for us to gather. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This can only be done when men are gathered. Hallelujah. Some people say, oh, you know, some young people, I see them, they pastor, they call themselves pastors. Young. I'm young, but they are younger than me. They are doing online church. Young people that should go and win souls. They'll just convert their friends online. And I say, oh, thank you. Oh, I can see you. Ah, Ememokon, ha, God bless you. I see you, God bless you. We are sharing the word of God today. Oh, I see you, Bro Galva. Oh, I sight you. Oh, God bless. I was in church today and Pastor saw me. Saw you. Amen. No! That can never be achieved online. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Poimano can only be achieved when you are together. We are seeing each other. Hallelujah. That's why it's called shepherd. A shepherd cannot shepherd a sheep from afar. Because part of your responsibility of poimano is rebuke. You cannot rebuke online. Amen? Above Jesus? Hey, cannot rebuke online. What do you want to rebuke? Amen. Can you rebuke online? Glory to God. Amen. Let's continue. Online church does not and can never replace our gathering. So the more people are substituting and going to online church, we are going to be louder. Hallelujah. That is not online church. No, it's gathering, physical gathering. It can never be replaced. Never! Hallelujah! Can never be replaced. Amen. Then somebody will just sit on his bed and say, did you attend church today? I went to church. How? Man, I was just on my bed. Lying down. You know, I just woke up and just spoke in tongues on the bed, man to sleep. And then I just tuned into online church. And well, I just enjoyed the service. You tuned into online church and you're still checking my new score. You tuned into online church. You're checking online, you are on online church and WhatsApp dropped. WhatsApp, Facebook, and you're online church. You are in church, on your bed, on your pillow. You don't serve God on your terms. You serve God on God's terms. Hope you are hearing me. You don't serve God on your terms. You serve God on God's terms. Glory to God. Hope you are hearing me. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So you are shepherd where? In the gathering. So, in the gathering, when we are gathered together, we are taught how to deal in the world. That's what we are taught. That's why I'm teaching you this. Don't substitute church for online. No, you come to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the local church, when we're gathered, we receive instructions about our lives. So the local church is how God wants to lead the activities of his children in the earth. It's through the local church. Hallelujah. It's through the local church. God wants to lead the activities of the children in the earth. God wants to control how we impact our world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God wants to control our impact in the world. And he does that through the local church. In Hebrews 13 verse 17, come on, Hebrews 13 17. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17. In Hebrews 13, look at verse 17. Everybody, we're going to read that together. Are you there? Are you there? Okay, Hebrews 13. Look at verse 17. Let's read. One to go.
Lord, let's take it together. 1, 2, go. Obey them who have the rule over you. Right? And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when it says, them that have rule over you, is that the leadership? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said they have the rule over you, the leadership. He said you submit yourself while getting there. Hallelujah. He said, but they do what? They do what? They watch over your soul. Did you see that? He didn't say your father in the household. He said your mom at home. Who watch over your soul? Your pastor. Hope you have seen that. Who watch over your soul? Your pastor. Glory to God. When he uses that word watch, is the word in the Greek that implies to keep awake. To keep awake. Not to sleep, as in sleeplessness. Not to sleep, your eyes are open. So your pastors watch over your soul night and day. They don't sleep. Hallelujah. To stay alive. Your pastors are alert watching over your soul. Hallelujah. How do they do that? You get to see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So they watch over you. Hallelujah. So, you can only watch over who you know. Abi, can you watch over who you don't know? You watch over who you? Who you? Hey. You only watch over who you know. Before I begin to pray for Christians all over the world, I must first of all pray for my members first with their names. Right? You watch over who you know. Your cell leader will first of all pray for his cell members, our cell members. Right? Your pastor will pray for his cell leaders and cell members. Right? You are not done praying for the ones you know, not only praying for the ones you know. I tell people, give yourself brain. The online church cannot watch over your soul. Hallelujah. Amen. But the pastor does not even know you. Nobody knew whether you logged in or not. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that is not what Christianity is for. Christianity is that the local church has been given to us so that what? Your pastor, God can monitor your activities through your pastors. Hallelujah. Watch your Christian growth through your pastor. This is something we'll begin to look at from March. Spiritual growth. From April. Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, I was telling somebody, spiritual growth doesn't, you see, some people think spiritual growth is because you know Greek and Hebrew. Let me use a word for we allow way for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Spiritual growth is not just that you know Greek and Hebrew or you know explanation of scriptures. It's part of it, but it's not all of it. It's not spiritual growth. Hallelujah. It's not spiritual growth. It's not all about spiritual growth. That you go online and you are listening to messages. You say, no, I don't listen to messages online. I don't need the local church. You are not growing spiritually. Hallelujah. Because one part of your spiritual growth is that if you want to tell me you know the scripture, you will know that spiritual growth can only be found in the local church. Amen. Glory to God. Can only be found in the local church. Because spiritual growth will be seen in your responsibility where? In the local church. Up from Jesus. Amen. He said, I've been growing spiritually. God has been helping me. I've been knowing the word. I've been growing. I've been praying. It's good you have those activities. But if that doesn't translate to your activities in the local church, you're not growing. You're only full of activities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you are busy in the local church and you don't hear the word, and you don't pray, you're not growing also. So we'll look at it wholesale. We'll look at it together.
Hallelujah. So I'm getting your mind ready for spiritual growth. Hallelujah.
So what really is spiritual growth? You get to understand that then.
Hallelujah.
So this sums up the activities of the local church. They guide your activities. Hallelujah. The local church guides your activity. That is, that is how God puts it. That is how God wants to control your activities, through the local church, through the leadership. When I say through the local church, I mean through the leadership of the local church. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So the word, look at what I have in my notes. The world wants to navigate your activities. The world wants to navigate your activities, but God has put in place how his children should be guided, hallelujah, monitored, and it's via the local church. So it's either you are being guided through the local church or the world is guiding you. Hallelujah. You know, some people say, no, I don't want to be monitored. I don't like all these monitoring people. Ah, my Bible, everywhere you go, church will be monitoring you. This is how you did, church will be monitoring you. See, that attitude is demonic. Hallelujah. Because the moment you say, okay, let me run away from the local church, Pastor Garba will not be calling me again every time. What are you doing now? Have you prayed today? Have you read the word? Have you studied? I want to be free. That is a demon. Number one, you fought it at home. Some people have fought that demon of wanting to be free at home. They fought it at home, and yet they now have their church monitoring them, following up what they are saying. They are every time. Ike will just call you. Have you prayed today? What message did you listen to? What message? Say, okay, can you explain? Send me synopsis. Let me see what you've listened to. Let me know what you are doing. Say, can somebody even cuckoo rest for one day? Let me tell you something that will shock you. That is a demonic word. That word in itself is demon influence. For you to say that word means you are really being monitored by the devil. Hallelujah. Because for you not to be monitored by your local church is to be monitored by the devil. Hallelujah. You don't know? No man can stand on the fence. It's either you are being led by God or led by the devil. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Above Jesus. Just very simple. I told us during GPL that there's no activity of a man that is neutral. They don't like neutral activity. Can't I just is it not your dance scale? Is it not just there's nothing there. Peru, para. Just normal. Right? Don't worry. It's just normal. It's demon that is pushing your leg. You don't know. Amen. Is there nothing like just normal, just. Let's continue, John. Some people are just, they think you are just being demonized. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. Where am I, John? Yes, I'm going to say that. I hear somebody complain about this church to me. He says, church, my church. You did not say anything in WhatsApp group. They will say you're not talking. Somebody will call you. Why are you not contributing in WhatsApp group? You leave WhatsApp group. You now leave. They will argue back. See, which kind of monetary spirit is that? I say, you are the one. That demon. Do you not know that you leaving the WhatsApp group is a demon as a killer? So they are full of the Holy Ghost. They are bringing you back. Yes, now. Because I don't want demon to carry you finally. Hallelujah. Some people are just crazy. And that is what is happening in the world. People want to get, people just want to, can't I just be, I'm not on Facebook, my pastor is even watching what I'm saying on Facebook. You know, we allow people to want to tweet with this. How? You have. God wants to monitor the activities of his children. Hallelujah. Looseness? No, not around him. Hallelujah. We won't allow believers to be loose. Hope you are hearing me. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. If you are not well properly discipled in your local church, if you don't allow yourself rather to be discipled in the local church, then you will be monitored, you will be guided by the devil through the activities in the world. You think he's neutral, but no, Satan runs the activities in the world. The Bible calls him the God of this world. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. So the role of the local church doesn't end on Saturdays and Sundays or on Wednesdays. No. It goes into how you act in your everyday life. How you behave in your office. Even into how you relate on social media and handle the internet. The local church is there to watch over your souls. The local church does what? Watch over your souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I skipped something here. When it says your souls, it means the functionality of a man. Your total function. The local church watches over it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the local church watch over your soul. Hallelujah. Beyond the fact that they teach you the word, beyond the fact that you are counseled, you are monitored, another thing is that your local church, your pastors pray for you. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 3:14. Paul said, for this cause, I bow my knees to the Father of glory, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians 3:14. To whom the Father of God is, that you will come to your conscience, which is of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man. Paul prays for them because Paul knows them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So they pray for your spiritual growth. Ephesians 1 for verse 15. Pray for your spiritual growth. Therefore, I must submit to my local church. I must submit. Remember what we read in Hebrews 13, verse 17? It says you submit to them. It says know them who have the rule over you. It says, remember them who rule over you. It says submit. So you submit to them. Hallelujah. You submit to them. You submit to your local church. And it's very important, you submit. You submit. Hallelujah. Therefore, I have a responsibility towards them. I must first of all, we started that last week, right? Right? I have a responsibility towards my local church, towards the leadership in my local church. First thing is I must know them. We saw that last week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 12. That was where we stopped last week, right? Right? Hey. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 12. Those of you were around. 5:12. He says, I beseech you, brethren. He said, know them which labor amongst you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Did you see that? So the role of your local church, the role of your leadership in the local church is to do what? The role of your local church is they are over you in the Lord. They labor. The Bible says your pastors labor. The local church labor over you. So you must first of all do what? Know them. Hallelujah. When you come to a gathering like this, know who is the pastor. Hallelujah. Know who is my leader. Know them. Hallelujah. That is the first thing. You know your leaders. Hebrews 13 verse 7 says, you should do what? Hebrews 13 verse 7, quickly. Hebrews 13 verse 7. I hope to run this up next week. Apostolic order. Hallelujah.
run it up together with what I will teach on Saturday. I'll run it up Saturday on Tuesday. Hallelujah.
Understanding the gospel. So that will be 5 tracks. We'll run everything together. Hallelujah. So, Hebrews 13:7. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken the word of God. Say, whose faith follow, consider the end of that conversation. He said, remember them. Remember them. That is, put them in your thoughts. Remember them means you speak about them. Speak good about them. Hallelujah. I hope you are following me. Speak good about them. Remember them. Know them. Remember them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, whose faith follow. So you follow them. You submit to them. You follow them. I hope you are following me. You follow them. You don't just follow them because you come to just in church. No, you follow them. There's a way scripture teaches us to follow. Hallelujah. When he says know them, when you go on the internet, you know who your pastor is. Right? When you go on Facebook, you know who your pastor is. That is the one you follow. It's the one you know that the Bible says you know that you should follow. You follow your pastor. On social media, follow your pastor. I hope you are hearing me. Amen? Some people go online and they listen to everything in the world. Following everybody in the world. See, the point, you begin to follow some funny people. There's someone amongst us who has begun to in recent times, he began to misbehave. But before that misbehavior, I called his pastor and I said, see, look at this brother. Look at this brother. I just saw that everybody that said that I see, you know, on Facebook, they bring people you may know. Right? All the people I may know, he's their friend. Ministers, though. Even believe that even me myself, I have to go through their wall. And I can't be friends with this one. But that guy, he said, well, more than one. I said, see, you see this thing? He will be unstable. Not a joke. And he is. He's unstable. Know them and follow them. See, know who is your pastor when you go on social media. Know who is your pastor's friend. They're not the same. Your pastor's friend is not your pastor. So you are hearing me? Your pastor's friend, your pastor's close friend is not your pastor. Amen? Amen? Hey. See, your pastor's body. You know your body. Your pastor's body, like my guy's guy, is not your pastor. Hope you are following me. So you must know who your pastor is. Some people are too forward. Your pastor is not even done teaching you a topic. You're already posting it online. Who? The Christian believer is controlled from the written word. Take it or leave it. Yes or yes. If you don't get it, forget about it. Your pastor is still planning to write. You're already writing. You follow your pastor. Hallelujah. I put it this way. When your pastor is speaking, you are listening. That's how you follow. You know your pastor online? Is your pastor's words, your pastor's post that you should repost? Be smart and be wise. See, let me tell you the meaning of follow. Two people. Someone else. Be fast now. You've been like this. Stand here. Now, both of them are like this. Who is following you? Who is following you? Nobody's following anybody. Amen? Face yourself. Who is following who like that? Nobody. Hallelujah. All right, one person should stand at the back. So, who is following me?
That's how to follow. You can have your seat.
That is how to follow. Following means that is discipleship. Discipleship is fellowship. I mean, it's followership. If I call fellowship, discipleship is followership.
Okay, following me. Remember years back in 2002, I saw that in CRK.
Discipleship is followership. Define followership.
Amen. Amen. See, I see I have retentive memory.
Can still remember what they taught me in guest two. That is like 10, 20 years ago.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, but followership. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Followership. Somebody is in front, the other person is at the back, behind. Amen. This was what happened between Jesus and Peter. In Matthew 16. Come on, Matthew 16. I will take this next on Saturday. I will just say a bit about something now.
Which is the use of the word Satan. I said it one time. I said it during believers' confession, right? Right? Let's explain it. Let's read scriptures. Enough? Okay, I hope to teach that in Saturday. The use of the word Satan. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, Matthew 16. Are you with me? Look at verses 23. Or verse 22. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be far from thee, Lord, this shall not be to thee." Now, when he said Peter began to rebuke him, listen. I will need two people to come again. Different people. Now, his sister. Okay, two sisters come. Because two sisters are not to fight. Come outside, you want to go. He's not even both of you. Tell you that, tell member. You guys will play that here. Okay, hallelujah. Okay. So, now, your son. Jesus just finished commending Peter. Peter, upon this work I'll build my, you know, talk. Say that I do not reveal to you by flesh and blood and by my spirit. After which Jesus began to talk about his death, then Peter took him one side and began to rebuke him. Please, stay at Harper. Begin like this. Is that rebuke? Is that rebuke? That is not rebuke. You can't be doing like this and call it rebuke, and you are the person's back. Amen? What is rebuke? Face her. Or yeah. Do the same thing. Is that rebuke? That is rebuke. Right? Right? So when it has to do with rebuke, the person must be facing you. Right? Right? To rebuke you. Right? You don't rebuke at the back. You rebuke in front. Right? Keep standing up. Then look at what Jesus now said. "Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense to me, and thou sufferest not the things which be of God, but of men." He said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, Jesus was dealing with two things there. Hallelujah. Who did he call Satan? Who did he call Satan? Peter. What is Satan? The Satan means the devil. The devil. So, calm down. I've explained that to you before. Just the same way the name, you can have a seat. Now, he says, that is the, when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," that is the core of Christianity. What Peter was doing by rebuking Jesus was called Satan. Hallelujah. So Satan is not always called, referred to as the devil. The devil's action towards God's children is called Satanos. So Satan is an action, not a person. Amen? Amen? The person is the devil. Devil is the person. Satan is an action. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Many a times in the scriptures, the work God is referred, the work of God, what God did at several times is referred to as Satan.
It's actions that are called as God's Satan. So actions of rebuke is called Satanos. I'll explain that on Saturday. Make sure you're around on Saturday. Hallelujah. I'll explain that from scriptures now. You see it well. Hallelujah. So when Jesus tells Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are not telling devil, get behind me. No. The word get behind me. Come again. Come again. Come. One of you now. One. Just one. One. Now look at what Jesus did. Look up, everybody. Look at what Jesus did. Stand. Stand. No. Listen. Oh, yeah. Now, she's Satan to me. Not, I did say she's devil to me. She is Satan to me. That is, Satan means one who accuses me, one who challenges me. You see that? One who tries to rebuke me. That is Satan. It's an action. So that action of trying to warn me, you, is Satanos. Do you get me? I hope you are following me. Now, what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me. That is the core of discipleship. When he said get thee behind me, it means come to my back. Did you see that? Because in discipleship, you must be the one following, not the one opposing. Hope you are following that. So he tells him, get thee behind me. Because what you are doing is called Satan. So get thee behind me. So get thee behind me is not somebody talking to you, is and they say, you get thee behind me. Get thee behind me means follow me. Be my disciple. You are my disciple. Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that was what Jesus said. He says, stay behind, stay behind. Hallelujah. Discipleship. Follow me. That's what it means. That's what he's telling Peter. Follow me. You're my disciple. So you should be behind. In following, you learn. You follow. Now look at in Acts 2. When they called them, they were drunk. You guys were drunk. You guys are drunkards. Hey, hey, hey. They were saying, no, who stood up to talk? Peter. Imagine Peter stood up and said, ha ha. Men and brethren, as I say, men and brethren. Matthew just say, ha ha, Peter proprio, proprio, calm down, calm down, calm down. You don't need to waste your proprio. You know, Jesus, as he's coming to John, he'll say, Peter, you didn't, Matthew, you didn't give them the Greek word where? Let me give them the Hebrew word for disciple. It is the word that means, as I was talking, maybe James will say, ha 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 ha. You know they give birth to me? No. Everybody listening to who? Everybody listening to who? Because Peter is their pastor. So they all have to follow Peter. Amen? That's what you do. On the internet, you follow your pastor. You don't live a loose life online. Some people think, well, because they are on social media, they can be loose. They can see any nonsense. No! You follow your pastor. The Bible says whose conduct you follow. Hallelujah. You follow their conduct. You follow their what? Their conduct. How does your pastor conduct himself online? Follow him. Hallelujah. What he posts, read it, repost it, share it. Hallelujah. Don't go online and be saying nonsense. Don't go online and be some people go online and they insult other pastors. They insult other churches. No! Hallelujah. Glory to God. No one that I teach will ever be found doing that. Hallelujah. You live a honest, humble, Christ-like life everywhere. Hallelujah. Even on social media. Hallelujah. Just live free. You just throw. Some people go online and they throw caution into the wind. They throw it into the wind. And I'm posting your half, what you know you can't wear outside, you're posting it online. For what? Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you even advertise Chelsea, you're advertising Pepsi. How will you make heaven? Hallelujah. Follow your pastor. It's simple. Even to his club. Follow him to his club. Hallelujah. Amen. Up of Jesus. Follow. It's called follow. Amen. But you know you follow your pastor online.
Hallelujah.
Never throw caution into the wind. That's what I'm going to. Never. Never. Never.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Who is your pastor? Follow him. Nothing. Follow him. Always stay behind.
Hallelujah.
So what else should I do to my pastor? What responsibility do I have to my pastor? Esteem him high. Right? 1 Thessalonians 5. This is where I will call it a day today, and then we'll continue next week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Esteem them high. First Thessalonians 5. Verse 12 to 13. It says, I beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace amongst yourselves. The word to esteem means the word to honor your pastor. To esteem them. Hallelujah. Learn honor. Honor your pastor. Glory to God. Honor your pastor. Esteem them high. Esteem them high. Some people don't like other people to see this, is to know that that is their pastor. No, your pastor. Glory to God. Some people prefer to, permit me, some people prefer to post pastors that have membership of 500, 5,000, and to post their own pastor. You are ashamed of your pastor. No, don't be ashamed of your pastor. The fact that your pastor is riding a bicycle doesn't mean it's less of your pastor, or he does not even have a car. It's your pastor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The one you are claiming, the one you are claiming them by faith. They don't know you. They don't pray for you. It's the one that that has a legacy bench that prays for you. Hope you know that. It's the one that has legacy bench that goes all night for you. The one that has private jets doesn't even know your name. He has people he's responsible over. Hallelujah. The same way your own pastor is responsible to you. Hallelujah. So you esteem your pastor. You honor them. You honor your pastor.
Hallelujah.
You pray for your pastor.
Learn to pray for your pastor. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, Paul said, pray for us. Ephesians 6, 18. You pray for your pastor. Pray for us.
Pray for us. Learn to pray for your pastors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Learn to pray for your pastors, right? Follow their instructions. We're going to look at that next week. The instructions of your pastors. Hallelujah. You follow their instructions. We look at the apostolic instructions to believers.
Hallelujah. And I want that to come after I'm done with what I'm teaching us on Saturday. Hallelujah. So we follow it. Hallelujah. So some of those instructions, I will teach it on Saturdays into Sunday.
Hallelujah.
Understanding the gospel is the same thing. You see why I have to divide the teachings this way.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you learned something? Let's be on our feet.